Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was an associate pastor in my first call out in Michigan, there was one church member, his name was Keith, and he regularly scolded the senior minister and me for not mentioning the devil often enough, or talking about the power of evil more directly in our preaching and teaching. And you know, he was probably right. We Presbyterians are a little uncomfortable, and we don't like talking too much about the devil or a cosmic force of evil. For one thing, the idea of an external evil force seems to trivialize personal responsibility. It's just too easy to say, well, the devil made me do it, to blame all of our faults and bad acts on someone or something else. And in this enlightened age of reason and science, we humans don't like the idea that there might be some greater evil out there that we can't control. It's much more comfortable to use science and psychology and sociological analysis to explain some of the horrors that take place in our world. But just because it's easier doesn't make it so. Recent events, from terrorist bombings and gunmen opening fire on innocent people in malls and houses of worship, have caused many of us to shake our heads and wonder what our world is coming to. The enormity of the problems in our world, the severe hatred that nations and people seem to harbor toward one another, the gruesome nature of a dictator's oppression or guerrilla warfare, corrupt governments living in luxury while millions of their own citizens don't have adequate food or clean water. This all does seem far beyond our understanding or control. While we may live in relative comfort and security, these are dark days for many people around the world and even in our own community. In our scripture lesson today, Paul was sitting in chains in a dark prison somewhere, facing the pitiless power of the Roman Empire. But even with his own life at risk, Paul saw the challenges facing his fellow Christians as even greater. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, Paul writes, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For Paul, the devil was not just some mischievous imp dressed in red with horns and a pitchfork. The devil was a manifestation of a much greater array of rulers and authorities and powers that had infiltrated even the heavenly places. These were not just earthly forces, but spiritual forces of evil working against God and God's purposes for the world. Frederick Buechner writes, "To take the devil seriously is to take seriously the fact that the total evil in the world is greater than the sum of all of its parts. Likewise, the total evil in yourself," he writes. In our scripture lesson today, Paul urges us to take an honest look at ourselves, to become more aware of our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and the very real potential for evil around us and inside us.
Although the forces of evil may be cosmic in scope, Paul knows that the devil can find surprisingly personal and mundane ways to work in ordinary people's lives. Where are the shadows in your life? Where does darkness threaten to invade your peace or your light? Maybe it is a mind-numbing depression or a vicious illness eating away at your body. Maybe it is an abusive relationship or a consuming addiction. Maybe there's violence lurking in your home or your school or your community. Maybe you are facing a temptation at work or at school to cheat on an exam or a paper or a financial report, to skim a little off the top or steal someone else's property or their dignity. No matter where we look, inside or out, darkness lurks around us somewhere. So how are we to defend ourselves against this present darkness? Paul warns his fellow Christians, and he warns us, you must be on your guard and stand firm. How many of you have read the Harry Potter series? Who's read Harry Potter? Raise your hand. All right, so a lot of you know already that that series is about one boy and his friends who are trying to defend themselves against the encroaching evil and darkness of who? Voldemort, that's right. In the fourth novel, Harry knows that the Dark Lord is on the loose, but almost everyone else around him doesn't believe it or doesn't want to believe it. Harry and his friends don't think that Hogwarts, their school, is preparing them adequately to defend themselves against those who practice the dark arts. They are frustrated, and so they form their own secret group. Who knows what it's called?
Dumbledore's Army.
Right, Dumbledore's Army, named after the very special headmaster of their school. And Dumbledore's army, they get together regularly to learn and practice how to defend themselves. They train themselves by learning about how Lord Voldemort and the Death Eaters operate. And then they learn different spells and charms to protect themselves. Harry and his friends wanted to be prepared in the event that they might come face to face with the evil forces of their present darkness. We Christians are already part of just such a group. In our case, it's called the church, the body of Christ on earth, which prepares us to face the forces of darkness in our lives and in our world. And in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul gives us what we need to stand firm and defend ourselves. Paul uses an image that was familiar to everyone in his day, the Roman soldier. Many Christians have been troubled by the military language and the warrior image Paul uses here. It seems counter to Jesus' words about turning the other cheek and his call to peace and reconciliation. It brings to mind all of those darker days in Christianity's history when faith was used as a justification for violence, oppression, and injustice. Some try to soften this image or ignore it altogether. But that's not really necessary. Paul is telling us to dress in protective gear to defend ourselves, not to launch an offensive attack. Every piece of the armor Paul describes is for defensive purposes, with the possible exception of the sword, which is not really a sword, but it's the Word of God as we live it and share it with others. So let's take a closer look at this armor. From the helmet to the shoes, it is designed to protect us from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes. In fact, the Greek word for shield that is used here doesn't refer to a small shield like a soldier might put on his arm, but to a heavy, full-body shield. Usually they were constructed of wood, covered in leather, and then soaked in water, so that they could withstand one of the more deadly weapons of the time, flaming arrows. The devil is wily, Paul reminds us, and looks for the smallest opening. Protect yourself by covering every inch of your body with the armor of God. What is this armor made of? Truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, the Spirit, and the Word of God. Truth is the belt of any Christian's armor because, plain and simple, your belt is what holds your pants up. The truth of God's love in Jesus Christ is that it holds our armor together. It holds our faith up. The breastplate of righteousness covers our hearts because that is where God has written his new covenant with us, on our hearts. Righteousness doesn't mean self-righteousness or always being right. It means living in right relationship with God and others. Our shield is faith, God's faith in us, the faith of Christ who died for us, the faith of the Spirit that grows in us every day. Our helmet is salvation, the simple fact that Jesus Christ died to save us, and no one can take that away from us, not now, not ever. And our only weapon, our sword, is also a gift of the Spirit. It is the Word of God, which we are called to proclaim in word and action as we live our lives day in and day out. As for shoes, Paul is not too specific. Wear whatever will prepare you to proclaim the gospel of peace, because that's our true purpose. So the next time we find ourselves confronted by this present darkness, or our world seems overrun by dark forces, we Christians are called to suit up, to put on the whole armor of God, and to take a stand against the forces of evil within us and around us. In fact, the primary goal of our Christian education program, which kicks off this morning, and that we have a Christian ed for everyone from preschool to adult, the goal of our Christian ed program is to nurture growing relationships with God and to supply us with the armor we need. The Christian values and character, the faith and the courage necessary to face whatever life brings our way. We are called to put on the armor of God every morning as we prepare to go to work or to school so that we will not fall prey to temptations or dark forces around us. Like a soldier who takes a cross or a Bible onto the battlefield invoking God's protection, we Christians bring with us truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, the Spirit, and the Word of God wherever we go, so that we may stand firm in the face of the smallest temptation or the greatest evil. In doing so, we become bearers of light in the midst of this present darkness, so that others may know the love and peace of Jesus Christ, who is our light and the light of the world. Amen.